tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is John White. And John is always doing all kinds of research as far as plants and horticulture and you name it. He'll tell you about it and some interesting things that we didn't know about. But he's here to tell us about fall planting. John is the curator of the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens across the street here at the Centennial Museum. John, on the 19th, you had a special location. What was that all about?
We had, you know, a couple things that are coming up. We've had a new construction project in front of the museum that has taken up a lot of energy from people at the museum and around the museum, and it's been kind of a project that they were, you know, hate to use the pun, but it's been kept under wraps. And so it's going to be unveiled, and people can see what it looks like and stuff. But that's taken up a lot of project time, you know, around there. And we have several events with the Centennial coming up. So there's been a lot of activity around the gardens and stuff. We've been adding some new plants in the garden. And so we got quite a few things going on.
And I understand that the Centennial Museum, it's not actually named after the Centennial. And the reason being was that when we got the funding, it was a Centennial.
It was a Centennial for the state.
For the state.
And I guess there's a little, you know, story on it as to how it even got at UTEP. But it was, I guess, kind of awarded to the city or to the county, and they didn't really have a place for it or something, so it ended up coming to the university. And I guess there's a whole story how we even got that, because it was a grant from the state legislature, and we were you know, included in that. But then they were only going to give us, I forget what it was, $10,000 or kind of a minimal amount of, and all the other cities were getting either $40,000 or $50,000 for
a drop in the bucket.
So they were cutting us off even back then.
Or a seed in the
So there was kind of a little fuss raised, and finally we got the same amount the other.
But for people who have not been there recently, and I know we're going to get a lot of visitors this year and the coming year because of the Centennial, a lot of things have changed, and of course, including the garden, which you've done an incredible job, and Wynn Anderson. And as far as what you just talked about a little while ago, that you just planted some more stuff and some stuff was under wraps, now's the time when people are wondering, okay, El Paso weather is so crazy. You know, yes, last week we had some weather storms, and this year, you know, it's been hot, it's been cold, it's been windy. So what do you advise people to do as far as fall planting, John?
It's probably being like the Boy Scouts and just be prepared, because El Paso does have a lot of extremes in it. I mean, even without the global climate change stuff going on, El Paso's always experienced, you know, strange weather. You know, everybody has a little adage, you know, you wait 15 minutes and it'll change. And it does happen that quick. And so, you know, you try and use your averages and, you know, what's happened in the past, and, you know, and you try and make your judgment calls based on that. So, you know, August, September are good times to plant a fall garden in El Paso. And some of the stuff you can go on in October with, but they need to be planted, you know, enough to where they have enough warmth in the soil to germinate and get some root growth on them before you go into winter. If you wait too long and plant late in the year, like October, November, you know, by chance we might have a mild winter and things might still germinate, but, you know, they don't have a lot of time to put on much root growth before cold comes in. So you like to get them planted out ahead of time so that they have good root growth, plant growth. And, you know, if they're vegetables, you're looking for some fruit production or leafy greens, you know, that type of thing. You want it to have some good growth on it before we get hit with the cold of winter. So that's the reason that you kind of have some plants, again, depends on the number of days from planting to harvest. And so you kind of look at the back of some of the seed packs. So some of the early fall gardens can actually be started in the middle of August and, you know, can be planted through September. Other things can wait until an October planting date.
Now, you're going to the grocery store, and, of course, you know, Labor Day was not too long ago, and we don't have any upcoming holidays except for Halloween, I guess, is the closest one. But people are going to the grocery store, and they're seeing some of the produce like watermelons and cantaloupes, stuff like that. As far as freshness, because the season is over, when is it still good to keep on buying watermelons, cantaloupe, those type of fruits and produce?
Well, what you're going to find is as we go into fall, of course, our season has come to an end locally, so you probably won't find those kind of vegetables and fruits at that time of year here because we're cooling down. But now that we're in this global market and you know, people are bringing in stuff from all over the world, you know, now have the, you know, either fortune or misfortune of having vegetables and fruits almost year-round at the grocery store. They're brought in from different areas. There's a lot of interest in doing origin of packaging or, you know, where, you know, this watermelon or this plum or whatever, it has to be labeled as to where it came from. And so there's a real move afoot in the industry to have, you know, those type of things marked on the label so that you know whether it's something that was grown locally or whether it came in from New Jersey or Bolivia or wherever. And so, you know, as we get to the end of our warm season, you can almost bet that nothing locally is really coming in. So, you know, you're looking at stuff out of the area, maybe even out of the state, maybe even out of the country. Now and again, the, you know, time frame from when it's harvested in that field makes it across the border back in the United States and gets to your grocer shelf, that can be a week, could be maybe longer than that. So you do lose a little bit of quality because the produce is picked a little bit green or a little bit immature, and then they're hoping with that time lapse that, you know, it comes back to the United States or to your shelf where it's in closer to more, you know, perfect conditions. But the perfect condition would be allowed to ripen on the plant and then harvested that day and brought to the store.
As far as what you see out in your garden, whether you have garden or flowers, whatever, produce, vegetables, you go outside and as you mentioned, because the warm weather is ending and some of the plants are starting to look like, well, you know, my time has come. Do you recommend that people go out there and pull out some of these plants or just let them die? What's the best
way? Kind of depends
way?
On the plant. There's some plants that, you know, when they get into production, they only produce for about a 2 or 3 week period. And then anything after that is just very, very minimal. So it's really better to pull it out like bush beans. Bush beans will come on, start producing beans, and they'll produce quite a few beans. And then the bean production, you know, kind of shrivels up, dries off. And so you'll have 2 or 3 weeks of good harvest, and then the plants pretty much run out of gas. So it's time to pull it, and, you know, hopefully you've done some succession planting where you've planted some other rows later, so they're coming on when this one's going out. And so you can kind of move them that way instead of planting all your beans at one time because they're all going to come off at the same time. So you do kind of alternating plantings where you might plant one row and then wait a couple weeks, plant another row, and maybe another 2 or 3 weeks, plant another row. And that way you'll have beans coming off over an extended period of time.
Some people, John, will plant or start something in their house. Right. You'll see on the, you know, windowsill or in their kitchen, something in a jar that has some roots and it's dental replanted. What are some of those things that you recommend?
Well, starting plants in water, there are a lot of house plants and stuff that you can start with cuttings and start in a glass or a bowl or a jar of water. But as those plants begin to develop roots in the water, they're used to taking oxygen out of the water. And when you put them in soil, if you try and transplant them, so you take them out of the water and put them in a pot and then fill the pot with soil, a lot of times they'll die because those roots are used to taking oxygen out of a water solution, not out of a soil situation. So they really have to regrow all new roots in order to survive in the soil. So if your objective is to get it started and then move it to soil, you need to do it fairly quick after it begins developing roots. But don't let it sit there in the water and develop a large root system and then decide you're going to move it to soil.
And you mentioned produce, and a lot of people think of produce during the fall season. What are perhaps some fruits that you recommend that are plantable in the fall weather?
Well, the plantable time here is usually root crops and leafy greens. Those are good crops to take into the fall and winter. And if we are, expecting a very, very hard freeze, there are some of these lightweight row cover materials that you can put over the root crops and leafy green crops, and it'll help protect them a little bit through some, pretty cold weather. But they do have kind of like an antifreeze in them where they will withstand a light frost and stuff as we drop into maybe the, below 20 and getting closer to 10, you might see a little bit of leaf damage. But actually, they have some built-in cold tolerance. So if you think of root crops, carrots, turnips, parsnips, all those are good to plant as a fall crop. Be sure and look at the seed packs because it'll tell you how long from seeding to harvest. So if it's 60 days, kind of look at your calendar, plant them, this is when they'll be coming off. Carrots, some of the root crops, fortunately, can stay in the soil pretty much throughout the winter, and then you harvest them as needed out of the soil. The soil acts as an insulating, kind of like a refrigerator, so it keeps them, pretty good. If you had some insect problems in the soil, like wireworms or nematodes, something like that, then, of course, you wouldn't want to leave the crop in the ground for very long. So you'd want to harvest it and then clean them and, probably put them in the crisper drawer of your refrigerator.
And as far as some of the trees that some of the nurseries are selling, and I'm not sure if they're still selling them, but I know when you guys had your native plant sale, you had some pomegranate trees and a few other fruit trees. And some people feel better by planting a tree instead of a seed. If someone goes out there and finds a pomegranate tree or a fig tree and anything like that, is it too late to do that, or are those still available?
No, those are still available. The problem with a lot of our retail nurseries is they've let their stocks run down because they don't want to hold a lot of stuff over winter. And so they don't reorder as often as they would during the spring and early summer. So what you get is basically what they have at that time. They're not bringing new stuff in. New fruit trees and stuff probably won't show up at the nursery till after the first of the year, and then you'll have another selection. But if you can find some fruit trees that you like, pomegranate or a peach tree or an apricot, at this time of year, fall is a great time to plant woody plant material. Trees and shrubs, they do excellent. So it's a good time for them to get root growth on without the expense of putting a lot on top. So they get the roots grown, then when we come around the spring, they're ready to go and they take off.
John, one of the things that we have not talked about is the fact that the museum offers quite a bit of educational materials, a lot of classes, Master Gardener classes, etc. So if someone is interested in finding out more about some of those things or has a question for you, what number should they call?
They can call the main number there at the at the museum, which is 915-747-5565. And you know, either ask for me or leave a question or leave your number and I'll call you back. If you have a question, you can email it. My email is jmwhite, like the color, at utep.edu. And they can email me a question and be glad to, you know, help them out, answer them with a question. As you said, we do have classes. We have a Sunscape class coming up this fall, which will be October, I think it's 18th. And you can call the museum and get more information on that. But it's a little class to kind of help people get used to gardening here in the El Paso area. And we will have a Sunscape in the spring also.
Okay. Well, thank you, John, very much for taking the time to be with us here today. And we've been visiting with John White. He is the curator of the Chihuahuan Desert at the El Paso Centennial Museum here on the University of Texas at El Paso campus. If you are doing some kind of research and perhaps we haven't touched upon your department, you might want to give us a call or go to our webpage, 747-5152. Folks on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sines.